5 years ago.
What's going on, people? People Forget That podcast, as always, with your host, myself, Ryan, and joining me, as always, Kevin. What's popping, Kevin?
Hey, what's up?
So, a lot of news broke in the last, like, week. I mean, I don't even know, not news, just, like, shit to talk about, at least in our NBA diehard circle.
Well, that's good. But, that's good news. So, all news is good news when you're in the content business, right?
Well, really, it was just, like, I mean, Kyrie is all over the place. In good and bad ways. But... yeah, that whole thing when he decided not to talk to the media, which I thought was like kind of good for him. So, you know, he doesn't get into trouble, which ended up having the polar opposite effect and got him into even more trouble and stirred up all this nonsense. And then him and the Nets got fined, and it caused more trouble than just simply not doing it.
I'm surprised Adam Silver fined him, you know. I'm surprised
already. Like,
I'm
mean,
surprised that he didn't give him Adam Silver with the way he operates. I'm surprised he didn't give Kyrie money. You know, like just he never disciplines anybody, and he's always so pro player. I'm surprised he didn't announce that he was donating $5 million to, you know, Kyrie's foundation or something.
I find it interesting how when Kyrie doesn't talk to the media, he gets crucified. But Marshawn Lynch doesn't talk to the media, he gets celebrated.
Well, I think people like Marshawn a lot more than they like Kyrie, at least media people, I guess. But yeah, I mean, and I guess Marshawn, I don't know. His thing was just at Super Bowl week. He wasn't going to do anything at Super Bowl week. I don't know. In the locker room, like post-game, pre-game, the rest of his career, was he like that? I honestly don't know. This was not like Kyrie. Well, I guess this was at media, quote unquote, what would have been media day, right? So I guess it's sort of similar in that sense. It was like a media event.
Yeah.
But it seemed like, at least from what I saw of Kyrie's original statement, was it seemed to imply that he was going to do it for the full season. So that's where it would be a little bit different than Marshawn Lynch. But if it was only just for media day, then I guess it's not that big of a deal. And I could see, but I think it just comes down to, for whatever reason, Marshawn is just, he has a higher approval rating than Kyrie. I think it's safe to say. And I don't even know much about Marshawn. I don't really, his whole, I guess he has like a cool vibe. People talk about him like he's the biggest legend of all time, because he said like what, I guess he just has some good quotes, but whatever. We don't have to go down like a Marshawn Lynch rabbit hole, but I just never got the obsession with Marshawn Lynch is like the coolest human being who ever lived, because I don't even know.
I feel like he's in that Gronk category where people think he's funny.
Yeah.
But he's not really, like, he does like stupid shit.
He just does weird shit, and then everyone's like, oh, that is the fun. That's a great comparison. He is like Gronk. Well, they'll just say, I mean, sometimes they can be funny. It's not like they've never said anything funny, but then I feel like somewhere along the line they got way too like self-aware, and then it started stopped being like organic, and then it was just like
more of a branding thing.
Yeah, exactly. Kinda... Marshawn Lynch will say something like, you know, protect your chickens, but don't chicken your, and then everyone will be like 80,000 retweets. Oh my God. Can you believe Marshawn Lynch said, protect your chicken?
Like, or like he always makes a joke about running the ball or something.
Well, I guess he is a running back, or he was a running back.
No, because of the Seahawks, like they chose not to run it. And they passed it. Like he always like, he's like, oh, I'm not going to pass the Skittle. I'm just going to run it to you or some shit like that. I don't know.
Yeah, something.
Some shit like that. But
I don't know. But then Kyrie, what did they, I mean, I guess because it's in, I don't know, the collective bargaining agreement that players have to fulfill their media responsibilities somehow, some way. I guess they're required to talk to the media, but apparently some players, like, sometimes will not talk to the media after the game, or they'll take, like, a 45-minute shower. To like, that was another thing with like Kawhi and Paul George, was that they would just take so long getting dressed and taking a shower, that the every other player basically would be left to answer like all the media questions. And then I guess obviously there'd be some reporters who are going to wait, but if you're on a deadline and you're like a beat reporter, you can't just wait like an hour and a half for the star player, you know, you have a deadline to get the story in. So I don't, but then I know there are other times where you'll see tweets where it'll be like, well, Klay Thompson, you know, didn't speak to the media after the game, but like, does he get fined? Does like the media have to like complain to the team to get fined? I don't know if I ever heard of a player getting fined for not talking to the media, but I'm sure it has happened before. I just can't think of it. Maybe this was just so official. And it did seem, reading the statement, that Kyrie was basically saying, I'm not going to talk to the media for the entire season. So that
It wasn't the entire season, okay, though. It was falsely reported by Brian Windhorst that it would be the entire season. Or at least he framed it that way. Well, but
there was no way to really know. So maybe I could see what you're saying, where Brian Windhorst, unless he had some inside information, just from the statement that Kyrie put out, you can't really extrapolate and say that it's for the whole season. But I don't think you can also extrapolate the other way and say it definitely wasn't for the whole season. It was like, what's the word? It was not inconclusive, but it was, I can't think of the word. It was vague. It was vague, you know?
It was definitely vague, but I feel like Windhorst was like, he was trying to get a little bit more clicks. So he kind of like, instead of obviously leaning that it was just like temporary, he was just like, this, you know, I'm just going to push it to where it sounds like it's like the whole season.
Yeah.
And then like shortly after that was disputed. But I mean, it may be, I mean, who knows? Kyrie does Kyrie things, but I found the interview or live stream with KD and Kyrie like really interesting, because one, it was live, so there's no edits or anything. It was just like full uncut raw Kyrie and KD just like chopping it up. And I always like, you know, you hear how like, you know, they're best friends, and I'm like, how like is that like them just saying like, you know, they're just like they're good friends and they're just like, oh yeah we're best buds, or like, or are they actually best friends? And actually, like, they were actually like, they definitely have like a lot of chemistry. They were like roasting each other, making jokes and shit. And honestly, like that whole thing, like they were just literally just kind of trolling. And one clip that, of course, people took out of context was Kyrie saying how he is basically KD, like in soul form, so that he can post guys up, and he wants to, you know, play, you want to do like have like 7-8 post ups a game. And people actually took him like seriously. They actually thought Kyrie was actually legitimately serious, but they're literally joking that entire time, just trolling. And like at first I thought he was serious. I'm like, geez, like that was like literally the first clip I saw. And obviously gauging like the reactions, I was like, oh shit, is this like legit? But then when I actually watched like the full thing, or even some of the rest of the clips, I was like, oh wait, they're literally just joking. Like,
I don't understand. What was he joking about? Wanting to post up a lot?
He was just saying how like, you know, I have a mismatch on every floor. I'm big. I'm like basically you, KD. Like I could just like pull up over someone, fade away. And you know, I could be the post guard, is what he was saying. Just dumb it to me in the post. And KD was just like, he's like, well, we agreed on 2.5 post-ups per game. And that half being, I throw you the ball in the post and you give it right back. And then that was that. But they're literally just like people literally took it as if like, they don't, like Kyrie was 100% serious. And that's, they're like already just like, off the rails with the offense, but not true. Fake news. I mean, today's just a big day for I guess the NBA, but really Nets fans, because first time we get to see KD and Kyrie Irving on the floor together. And it's been quite the journey, for sure. Never had any team like this, never had any talent. And a lot of hype, a lot of hype, a lot of questions, curiosity surrounding this Nets team. You know, there's a lot of variance, and I've seen some clips of KD, and honestly, he looks very healthy, pretty simply. Like, he's, there's one clip of him just dunking after, like, you know, off the triple dunk, and he looked like quick off the feet, explosive, and, you know, he's moving the ball, he's moving around well. So that's like very exciting. But, you know, we'll see tonight. I'm just so curious, because if KD is, the thing is, like, with the Achilles injuries, I would be much more pessimistic if it weren't for Emmanuel Sanders bouncing back at age like 30, 31 and had like a career year after tearing his Achilles. And it was like less than a year later. I think it was like 10 months. And this guy was absolutely amazing. And football is obviously, I'm not sure which is more strenuous on the Achilles, because, I mean, both you're running at full speed. So you're both sprinting. So that's, you know, not great for either. And, you have quick jabs left and right. So that's not good. And then, but with football, you get like literally tackled, you know, at the legs. So that's like kind of scary. But I mean, my only reservation is that he took steroids and that's how he got there. But
when was this announced? Emmanuel Sanders took steroids?
No, but like he was so, do you not remember how good he was the year after he tore his Achilles?
Wait, dude, I'm so confused. I just typed Emmanuel Sanders Achilles. Seems like he tore his Achilles in August 2019.
And he returned August 2019 after tearing his Achilles.
We'll play in a game tonight. Gotcha. So he returned in August 20. So you're talking about last season?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have a career year last season. He was good. He was definitely good. I'm just looking at it now, because 2020 is this year. So you're not talking about this year. You're talking about.
No, it wasn't this year. It was.
He had 800 yards, but he's had 3,000 yard seasons. I mean, I think that's what in favor of your argument would be that his 2019 season was basically the same as his 2018 season. So that would be in favor of your argument of saying he tore his ACL, I guess, like in week 13 of 2018 or something, came back, what, like a year and a half later, and basically had the exact same season as the year before, like literally 868, 869 yards, similar touchdowns, similar season. So, I mean, that would be, and he was, I guess, similar age. It was like 31, 32. So that would be an example, I would say, of a player getting back to the level that they were at when they tore their Achilles. So, your example, it does still work.
So it's not like, you know, like he had a career year where he like broke out. It was more like he, you know, basically just went back in line to his trajectory, like with his age 32 season. Right. So it's not like, so it's like, you know, he played as well as he should have, being that he's, you know, age 32 and Emmanuel Sanders.
You can't see on Pro Football Reference, it does nothing looks like there was an Achilles injury anywhere. You know, if you just, it was the same. He basically had the season you would have expected him to have without an injury. So that's a positive for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, that definitely brings some optimism, or maybe like, you know, the doctors are really good, but, you know,
it could have been steroids too. I mean, thinking about it, who knows, but who's to say KD didn't take HGH, not throwing allegations around, but.
Well, I hope he did. Honestly,
why the fuck not?
Like, why? Okay. So I think this should be allowed. So basically, if you tear your ACL or Achilles, you should be allowed to take steroids to rehab for that off season.
For like a period of time where the NBA will like monitor you. The NBA should be administrating it, you know, top of the line doctors, where they will, you're not forced to do it, obviously. But if someone's saying, like you're saying, you know, I have this injury, and like you said, okay, maybe they limit it to ACL MCLs and Achilles, stuff like that. And a guy says, you know, I want to opt into the HGH program, and the NBA should administer it for him, set him up with the best doctors. Isn't it in the NBA's best interest? And but exactly. Then they could keep all their drug testing that they currently have. The only time that you get it, I guess some people will be like, well, it's not fair. That guy got HGH because he tore his ACL. I never tore anything. But it's like, what are you going to do? Blow out your knee so that you could get some HGH? Probably not, right? You're probably just fine without it. So that's an outside the box idea that's so crazy it might just work.
Because it's just like, okay, so it's not cheating because, like, if you look at DeMarcus Cousins, right, tore his Achilles, now he's like a shell of himself.
Yeah.
Like, what if that offseason he took HGH or Achilles to basically just get back to 90% or 100? So is that cheating to just go back to
undo your injury, basically?
Yeah.
Or is it just BS that you got, like, some brutal injury and got unlucky? So
it's not like they got – like, I wouldn't say, you know, it's very unlikely – you know, unless you're like, you know, young, you're 23, 24, 25, you tear your Achilles, you could obviously get better. But, you know, when you're at age 30, even if you are fully healthy, you're probably not going to get that much better. And you're not going to get better for sure if you have a major surgery, a major injury. So it's just like, if you're like, okay, so that would be also a good idea. So it's like, okay, if you're past age 25, honestly, I would just say, like, if you just get the injury. Look at Derrick Rose, you know? I mean, if you just gave him steroids to help, I mean, it's just like, amazing. Like, imagine, like, this year with, well, Clay obviously re-tore, so he, you know, maybe if
maybe
he took
if he
steroids.
His rehab, though, would have been, he would have never got injured again.
Yeah, I mean, the basic thing about steroids is that you can recover. It's about recovery. It's literally just like the recovery is just insane. And
well, I don't think you'd want I think HGH would be the move. Isn't HGH like growth and it regrows stuff and it like thing like I don't think taking testosterone is going to make your ACL heal better. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, it can't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it wouldn't hurt. I would say HGH.
It would make it stronger, right? It would just make it stronger.
HGH for injury recovery. I mean, it comes up. The human growth hormone that athletes take because they believe it helps them recover from injuries has been used successfully in burn patients for a number of years. The healing process from a severe burn can sometimes put the body in a blah, 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 end up tearing down muscle and other tissue. I don't know. Human growth hormone treatment after ACL injury may prevent loss of muscle strength. Interesting. From the Michigan Health Lab, an article from this past May. So, yeah, I don't know. Mark Cuban supports use of HGH in injury recovery. Did Mark Cuban incept this idea into our brain? This is from May. This is from May 2019. Mark Cuban saying he supports it. So we got to talk to old Marky Mark about this.
I think I vaguely remember.
Probably. You know, he probably we'll give him credit, but we're just giving him the backup that he needs. You know,
we're, you know, reigniting the flame.
Exactly. It died down. So
it died down. We got to spark it back up.
Exactly.
But I mean, I think it just makes sense for everyone involved.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer.
Like what are the cons? How could you say no?
Yeah.
It's just better for the NBA, better for the players. Better for the fans,
and it's not compulsory. Is that the word? You know, nobody's forcing you to do it. You opt in or you don't. That's, you know, it's not like you have to do it, but it's an option that's available for you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. Like, obviously, I guess you don't have to, but like, why wouldn't you? If you know, next, like, you go from a max contract player making $35 million to signing the minimum for the Rockets.
Yeah, no. Boogie, I saw some clips of Boogie. I mean, I said it last year when he came back for, or I guess this would have been 2 years ago at this point, when he came back for the Warriors, everyone was freaking out. And I was like, this guy looks like he lost six inches on his vertical. So, I mean, he was still moving around decent, and he was still like, he wasn't like a total, like, you know, schmuck on the court or anything. But I could when he would go up for a dunk, I'd be like, his head is like significantly below the rim. Like, he clearly has lost a lot of explosion, and he was never, I mean, for somebody his size, he was definitely explosive, obviously, just to be in the NBA, but he was never like a guy who was this insane leaper, but I could just tell, like, the first dunk he had, I was like, oh God, not good. But whatever. I mean, it's just a shame.
people did forget how the hype that was coming in when the Warriors signed Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, people were freaking out. Like, oh, they got him for the minimum. Now he's going to be their starting center. And, oh, my God, this is so unfair. It's like, yeah. Well, I mean, is it? What is he going to look like? Who knows?
That's the thing. Like, everyone just assumed that he would be, you know, within 10% of what he was. And he just, you know, he's probably about 70%, which is a huge drop off. Not enough to be out of the NBA, but not.
I mean, he's never going to make an All-Star game again.
No, I don't think he. Is he ever going to be over a minimum contract guy?
I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable betting on it. I mean, it's possible. I don't know. I mean, it's like Miles Plumlee just got like $8 million a year. I mean, he was on the Lakers last year, but he tore his ACL before the season. But that was a minimum contract, I'm pretty sure. Or was it like $5 million? I can't remember. But, I mean, I could see him getting like $5 million. But even with the devaluing of the big man and things like that, I mean, I could see – I don't think he's ever going to get double digits annual salary. Could I see him sign like a three-year $15 million deal or something if he has a decent year with the Rockets? Maybe. But, I mean, thankfully he did make a good amount of money already. It's not like this happened in the second season of his career. But, he definitely lost out on a ton of money. It's a shame because I definitely wanted him to have his Rasheed. I think I mentioned this before, like his Rasheed Wallace moment where if that ever was going to happen, where it's like, oh, this troubled, like, basically maniac player who gets a zillion technicals who people think is maybe justifiably so, was like a locker room cancer, and oh, maybe he could turn around his career and mature and now he's on like a contender and he could be a good player in the playoffs and stuff like that. But I mean, right when he was maybe possibly going to have that moment with the Pelicans, not like the Pelicans were going to make a run to the finals or anything, obviously that was when he tore the Achilles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching some of the preseason highlights of John Wall and Boogie Cousins, and honestly they both look pretty spry considering the doubt surrounded by them. And, you know, obviously they're not going to be, I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of pessimistic on John Wall just because he's literally just totally relies on his speed to, you know, utilize all factors of his game. But I mean, he looks healthy, but it's just a matter of, you know, how fast he could go down the floor. I mean, it could just be also age. Like maybe he, you know, is 100% healthy and he's just slower because he's 2 years older now.
Right.
And, you know, it could just be that. So, you know, obviously all the injuries do play a factor, but, you know, considering, you know, he looks pretty good. So I feel like the Rockets are going to be like a feel good story if they are good without James Harden gets traded, because I mean I think a John Wall Boogie Cousins led team is I wouldn't really bet on that, but you know if they do well it'll be cool.
Yeah, I mean the only thing is like the West is so good that I just can't see them making the playoffs, but maybe they could be competitive and have some nice moments and go on a hot streak or something. I'm watching these highlights. John Wall, he definitely doesn't look to be, I mean, he was like on the level of D Rose and Westbrook as an athlete in terms of how fast he was, and probably not as explosive as a dunker as Russ, but he's insanely fast. I mean, he looks pretty good in these highlights. I mean, he looks probably better than I was expecting, to be honest.
Same.
But but it could be just what you said. Like it could be some of it is maybe half of it is just a natural aging process and half of it is maybe he would be like 10% or 15% more explosive if he never had the injury. But, you know, you get older, you lose explosion anyway. But, yeah, I mean, there's some plays where he's shooting layups where maybe I think he would have dunked it in the past. But, you know, he's looking better than I thought. So that's good.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, I think like let's say, you know, Hardy gets traded. And obviously the haul is going to be pretty decent. They're going to get like something in return. So like I might put them in like that Pelicans tier.
Right.
And I don't think the Pelicans are a playoff team. I think they're like 10th in the West.
Well, I forgot that with this play-in tournament, 10th in the West means you get a chance to make it into the playoffs. You'll play the seventh seed. If you could beat them two times in a row, then you're in the playoffs. So it's like you can be a 10 seed playoff team, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I mean, I The seatings were cool. I mean, I think it was awesome last year, like watching the Trailblazers get into it. Damian was just having just this monster run. And
I forgot about that, where he was like going into the playoffs was just, I mean, it was him.
He get like 50 points like in three games in a row or something like that.
Something insane. I mean, he was just making, it was something about the bubble, man. I'm telling you, where it had to make it easier to shoot because people were just shooting. It's weird. I feel like I haven't heard people saying no. So I don't know. Was the question just never asked to any of these players? I mean, AD was shooting better than he has ever shot from three and mid-range. I mean, he was shooting like he was Dirk Nowitzki from mid-range. He's like doing these off-the-dribble step back, like 20-footers and nailing them. And meanwhile, I was used to him on the Lakers, like bricking, like pick and pop 20 footers, like catch and shoot. Donovan Mitchell was shooting like he's Ray Allen or something. Jamal Murray basically turned into Steph Curry. And then, yeah, Dame Lillard was obviously, he's an incredible shooter, but he's just making every 35 foot three now. So I'm just very interested to, I wish people have to do some journalism but maybe the question was asked and we never saw it, but it was something I noticed even early on in the bubble. I'm like, I feel like these guys are making a lot of shots.
But now, are you saying like the bubble, just like the actual, just that entire situation, or just the fact that there's no fans?
Yeah, that's a good, well, I guess every factor would play a role. I'm thinking like maybe no fans behind the basket makes it easier to see the basket, in that even though that's like a stupid, you know, sight lines and things like that. I know shooters have talked about it sometimes, where the backdrop, like when they play March Madness and they're in like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys stadium, but they make it into a basketball arena. You know what I'm talking about? And, yeah. And then there's like 80,000 fans in the arena, but people will say like, it's very disorienting when you like raise up to shoot a three and there's like, you know, 80 rows of seats that go up and up and up to like to the sky, basically, when you're used to seeing like, you know, 10 rows of X amount of fans, and it's sort of just the basket looks small or super far away. So I think it does play a role in terms of like the backdrop behind the hoop and making it easier. So I'm thinking maybe there was a better backdrop for shooting, but yeah, maybe to your point, no fans, does that make it a little easier to concentrate, or you just feel naturally like looser and less pressure? Is it being in the bubble and not all this travel, so you're able to get like better sleep and you're not going across time zones and things like that? It could have been a bunch of factors, but then again, maybe there's some, you know, smart guy who has his article that like offense was not even more efficient than in previous playoffs, but I'd be interested. I didn't see anyone write an article like the 2020 playoffs offenses were more efficient than they have been in 10 years in the playoffs. I didn't really see that article. So who knows? Could be.
And it's not like totally, you know, it's not like across the league where, you know, you saw some players that just didn't shoot as well. Like, I mean, I don't think Harden shot great.
Right. Right.
You know, just like it wasn't like everyone was just going off.
Yeah. And maybe it is small sample size. I don't know. I just keep going back to Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell. Like that duo there, I don't know. Like, it, obviously, you know, people have things to focus on in their own life and things slip through the crack or whatever. I'm not ever expecting everyone to like remember, but they were literally like, Jamal Murray is like pulling up from 35 feet and making every shot basically. Like, and he's pulling up on fast breaks and shooting like 45% from three over. I guess it could be small sample size, but it was very, I just have this weird feeling that that would not have been happening if there were fans in the arena. You know, assuming, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm biased, but I'd say the same thing for AD. I don't know if he would be shooting spinning turnaround step backs from 20 feet if there was, you know, 40,000 fans in the arena, but who knows?
And like, I mean, I think just the factor of not having to travel, and you could just like, instead of spending those time traveling or sleeping on a plane, you're actually like sleeping in your bed.
Right.
Getting better sleep. Because people just like literally just this generation underrates sleep. And it's one of the most important things that you could do. Obviously, me and you are very supportive of sleeping?
I mean, that would have been one of my big priorities of the past few months. I've rescued my sleep cycle from basically the depths of hell. So we're back to 8 hours of sleep every night, and yeah, you definitely notice a difference, no doubt about it. In terms of, you're not like dead tired at 3 p.m. for no reason. You know, that's not really a normal way to be. But yeah, I mean, there's this whole idea of like, whatever. You know, you'll sleep when you're dead, and it's not like you want to sleep all day or something, but you don't have to sleep all day if you just get the normal. And I understand maybe some people listening, you only need 6 hours, you only need 7 hours. Obviously, you have to just, I just feel like my body naturally does 8 hours. So I'm just thinking that that's what works for me. But yeah, I mean, it's night and day difference when you're regularly getting 8 hours of sleep every day than when you're just like, oh, tonight I'll get 6 hours, and then the next day I'll get 7 hours, and then this day I'm going to sleep for 9 hours because I'm catching up on sleep. Yeah, definitely sleep is great stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
And really, 100%. Just for a note to self, I mean, just for anyone else who had a habit of like, well, you're staying up till like 3 a.m. Do you ever remember anything that you do from like 1 a.m. to 3 a.m.? Like, can you not just go to bed at 1 a.m. on a Friday? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you really need those 2 hours of watching random YouTube videos? I don't know. It's just like
me last night. I literally couldn't sleep for some reason, and I was just up till like 3:30. I was also watching the KD and Kyrie interview, but
right,
I was just, for some reason, which is very unlike me, but you know, it just happened. But yeah, I mean, I that's not a habit of mine, but I could just feel it, because I always go to bed like basically midnight, 1 o'clock, and I could just feel like I was already like tired, but for some reason I just couldn't go to sleep.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say?
I don't know. You're talking about the bubble, sleeping.
Oh yeah, like when the thing is that when everyone talk, because like there's a bunch of questions. Like I've seen a bunch of interviews with like players, like they say JJ Redick's podcast, and
JJ Redick podcast is good. I'm not gonna say that I listen to it because I don't, but I saw like a lot of clips from on Twitter of his Chris Paul interview, and there was some good stuff in there. So you know, shout out to him.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like no one really says that it's easier to shoot in the bubble, and they all just go back to just the fact that they don't travel. They just, you know, the game's over, and then they just go to the room and eat and just kind of chill, instead of, you know, during the regular season, they would, you know, go hop on the plane and travel a couple hours and, you know, get back, go into a hotel and get set up there and then go to sleep. It's like a lot more moving parts, but instead like everything's there ready for you. And, you know, I think that's definitely like, it's like kind of like working from, it's like the difference of work, going into work, commuting to work, and working from home.
Right.
Like I feel more refreshed. Just the fact that I don't have the travel and do all this like meal prep and all this stuff to prepare for work. So, you know, maybe that's their version of working remote. But I mean, hey, I mean, we'll see what happens, because now, I mean, there's no fans, so we'll see how much of a factor that is, unless like players don't really want to say it's easier. So they kind of, so they don't hear like, you know, people creating like, you know, those like 80s lovers who are like, oh, well, these guys didn't have fans, so it's easier to shoot. Then you're like, you'll start hearing that, and then like they'll try to like put an asterisk on all these records that are going to happen when Luka is averaging, you know, 38 a game when Kristaps is out,
right?
You know, because there's no fans, and he's just shooting, like he finally ups his three-point percentage, and then he has the same volume, and now he jumped from what, like 30 a game to 38. So that's, you know, who knows, maybe that's a missing piece too. Let's see, you want to do awards or like top 20 players?
I'm down for awards. I feel like a top 20 players needs a little bit more. We could do that next Sunday, just in preparation for the season. I need a little bit more prep for top 20 players, because I mean, we could roll off maybe the top 10 or 12, but then when it's like, you know, then, you know, 15 to 20, I feel like there's 15 guys you could consider.
Yeah, I mean, we'll, after like one, in my opinion, it's just like, you know, who the heck is who's number two?
Who's number two? Who's number three? Who's four or five? And then, oh, number seven, could he have an argument for number four or number 10? Yeah, it's like after LeBron, from like two to six or seven, there is like an elite group where you could sort of put them wherever you want, kind of.
Because I don't know, like who would you rather have going to the season? So just like going into this season, this very season, Kawhi Leonard or Luka?
I'll still take Kawhi just because I feel like he's still, maybe he's not the defensive player that he used to be in his prime, but he still does bring it on defense. And that's a component that Luka, not to say Luka's like a terrible defensive player, but I'll still give Kawhi the overall edge there because Kawhi is still an amazing offensive player. And then he brings it on the defense. Now, who's a better offensive player? Probably Luka, but I think Kawhi is close enough offensively where his defensive edge gives him the boost. I mean, it's not by like a mile, but I'm still going to give him. Now, maybe you ask me 2 months from now, it's like, oh, well, it's definitely Luka, but I'll still give it to Kawhi for now.
Kawhi or AD?
I'll go with AD, honestly. I think AD is better. Yeah. Now,
I don't know, man.
It's razor thin, but I think if AD goes back to shooting like AD normally shoots, then I'll go Kawhi because.
True. Yeah.
But I'm just thinking bubble AD is better than Kawhi, but regular season AD I saw from last year, I think regular season Kawhi was better. So I have to see if. Is this jumper, did AD figure out something with his jumper? Because if he's a knockdown jump shooter now, then he's better than Kawhi. But if he goes back to like hit or miss, kind of shaky jumper, then I'll give it to Kawhi. So that's my caveat. It's not a cop-out because, look, I'm confident that if AD shoots like he did in the playoffs, he's better than Kawhi. But if he goes back to how he used to shoot, then it's not. I mean, that's an important factor.
So bubble AD or Giannis?
I'll still go Giannis because I think I saw NBA rank ESPN. They did give AD. I think that was a little premature, to be honest. I think
they're stirring the pot.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was too.
You know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. We're on to their game. Trending,
so it worked. It worked exactly. Honestly. And it worked every year. It just like you know the ESPN rankings are just going to be. I think for the last like 4 years they've been doing this. And
where they've been doing it for a while, but I feel like in recent years they've been leaning more into hey, let's throw a random guy super low to get the people
like
talking.
Tyler Hero going or Zion number 19 over Bradley Beal, Kyrie, Westbrook, and
That's a little too much. It's a little premature. Yeah. That's another premature one. But yeah, AD, could you make the argument that AD is number two? But I mean, Bubble AD has an argument to be on Giannis's level, but regular season AD just doesn't. I'm sorry. So, Giannis, I think people are taking the Giannis disrespect a little too far. He did win MVP, and he deserved to win MVP. He won Defensive Player of the Year. And for what it's worth, he was hurt in the bubble. He missed games against the Heat. So not to say that if everyone was fully healthy on the Bucks, they definitely want to beat the Heat, but he was hurt this year. I don't think it's fair to say, oh, Giannis crapped out in the playoffs again. It's like he was hurt. And the Heat, as we saw, were a pretty good team. I mean, they made it to the finals and they pushed the Lakers to six games, even with, injuries to Bam and Dragic. So they weren't scrubs. I think I would still put Giannis number two.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough call all around. You just have to put LeBron number one. I mean, KD is also like, you can't really rank him. You just have to see how he is.
He's a big question mark for me. It's impossible to say. What am I, some sort of genius who can project what he's going to look like after an Achilles tear? No. So, I mean, if you want to tell me he's going to look like he looked when he, before his Achilles, if you're telling me then that's going to happen, then he has an argument for number one. But if he's going to lose 15% of his explosiveness, then maybe he's more towards like the back half of the top 10. So it's really, there's a big area of flux to that. We need to figure out what he looks like.
Yeah. Like the top 10 players, like the top 10, top eight players are all so close in talent.
It's so close and so elite. Like there's so many good ones. People will say it's a like, oh, it's disrespect to have this guy seven. It's like, I don't know, man. He has to go somewhere.
Yeah, he really does. It's like trying to, you're going to, if you ask, 10 people to give the top 10 players in order, you're going to get 10 different rankings pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't think there just might not be a, there might not be a correct one and there's not going to be a wrong one. It's just, you know, there's just so much talent in the league that, you know, every little difference matters. So, you know, KD is just a little bit worse on defense, or he, you know, he's a little bit less efficient, you know, then, you know, he's going to have to, you know, drop into that back end. But if he's the same, I mean, he's, you know, an all-time great player. So, you know, you don't, it's just, there's no point of discussing it now just because you really just don't know. So, but let's see. I guess we'll just jump into MVP.
Okay. Who will win MVP this upcoming season? I will say
the recipes of MVP season. You need to have a winning team.
Almost beyond a winning team. You probably need to be one of the top two seeds, because really Westbrook is like the outlier. I'm pretty sure other than that, it's basically like you need to be one of the top two seeds in your conference.
But that Westbrook thing was so bizarre, because I thought Harden's numbers were just as good, but the Rockets were 10 wins better.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't like, yeah, like Russ got the triple double for the year. Like, that's really cool. That's awesome. But James Harden was averaging like, let's say, okay, so if they put up 50 total, if they reached like the 50 club, like Russ got 30, 10 and 10. Harden got like 32, 8 and 12 or something. So it was like they both hit the 50 club. It was just the fact that Russ was more even to where he got like he averaged the triple double.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and then he had the 10 plus more wins, but I don't want to get into that, that whole MVP thing. But yeah, so basically the formula is basically a very good team. You're going to have to be probably top three in the conference. You probably going to have that. You might have like a little narrative, working for you, and obviously just crazy, crazy stats. Kind of like simple as that.
I will go with, they're not going to give it to Giannis 3 years in a row. So he's out. I don't care what stat line he puts up. Well, I think it could be crazy enough that if Giannis has the same season that he had last year, I think we have gotten to a point where narrative does play a role, but there's enough like stat guys and like really smart, you know, people that the narrative could just be like, Giannis is the best player again. Like, he had the biggest impact. It's going to be tough. He's really going to need to blow people away, but I wouldn't think it's crazy, even though it sounds like there's no way it's going to happen, but it might. But I will go with my official pick. You know what? I'm going. I know you put out your pick on Twitter, so I'm thinking he might be doing it too. But just to be different, I'll go with, because this I guess would be my second pick, or 1A, 1B. So I'll go with Luka. I'll say Luka's going to win it.
Okay. So yeah, so I picked Anthony Davis. Do you want to make your Luka case, or do you want
I think I'll make the Luka case quickly. I think the Luka case is that this is so variable. It's like if a team gets COVID, then it's like, well, you're kind of screwed, because, you know, who knows? There's a lot of unknowns with this season, of course, but it could be a bit of a wacky season where it's not, teams are more bunched together and there's not like a juggernaut team. Because there could be a juggernaut team who then, you know, Giannis is out for 2 weeks because of coronavirus, or LeBron's out for a week, or Anthony Davis misses six games or stuff like that. So there may be no team that runs away. It could be a year where like the 2 seed and the 8th seed are like separated by 3 games. You know what I'm saying? So I could see a possibility where the Mavericks get like the 2 seed in the West, right? I could see that possibly happening. And if that were to happen, then obviously Luka would be the main reason. He's going to put up absurd stats, and it could be like, this guy, he's the next one. He's the guy next up who's going to be carrying the torch for the NBA. So that would be my argument.
So I chose, I said Anthony Davis, and basically what I think is probably going to happen is basically LeBron is just going to be like, okay, I didn't get the MVP last year.
LeBron is going to give no fucks this season.
Yeah, he's just not, So he's pretty much, he probably gave up on the MVP. Like, he couldn't get it last year. Like, I don't think he could put up the numbers that Luka, Giannis, James Harden, Anthony Davis can put up.
These young guns. Anymore.
Yeah, the young gunners. So I think he's just going to hand him the keys and be like, listen, you're going to have the MVP season, and we're just going to watch. You're going to shoot. You're going to shoot 20, over 20 times a game. You're going to have the ball in your hands all the time, and we're just going to be a damn good team. And I think he really needs to average like an AD MVP stat line would have to look like 30, 12, and 3. And the Lakers are like a top 2 seed.
And he's getting like defensive player of the year, like buzz as you.
And defensive player of the year. So that is also a factor. But the only thing is, like, if, you know, we get Giannis or Luka averaging like 38, and it's going to be hard. Like, AD needs to just get the volume. Like, he's a good enough player, obviously. But it's just like the fact that if he's not getting the volume to do it.
LeBron needs to let him be the number one option on offense, even though if that's obviously it's better for LeBron to be the number one option. But like you said, AD needs to put up shots, 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 because he really doesn't shoot that much. And if he just forces the issue a little bit offensively, he could get 30 points a game.
Right. But I mean, I could see, I don't know what's going on with James Harden. I don't know what team he's going to be on. Now there's talks of him. Now he's open to, people, do you remember? Okay, so he's open to the Heat and the Bucks now, and obviously the Sixers. But what I find funny is that Giannis and Harden have beef.
What happened to that? Yeah. Was he just trolling when he put the Bucks on the list? Because the Bucks can't trade anyone. Who are they going to trade? Chris Middleton? Why the hell are the Rockets going to trade James Harden for Chris Middleton? I guess you could say, well, Chris Middleton's under contract, but, you know, I mean, John Wall, Chris Middleton, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of...
It would be better than John Wall. I mean, technically, the talent-wise, there's a talent disparity between Ben Simmons and Chris Middleton, but Chris Middleton is absolutely a better fit than Ben Simmons and John Wall. I mean, Ben Simmons and John Wall, that just...
It's terrible. That's a terrible...
Oh, my God. Yeah, oh, my God. The worst fit in NBA history.
Yeah, the whole defense is just going to be standing in the paint. So I was thrown off when I saw that too. The Bucks were on this list. I'm like, dude, they can't. Can they trade Drew Holiday when they just traded for him? But
I don't think they can. I think they have to wait like six months or something.
Yeah. So that there's no, I would put it at 0% chance that James Harden is on the Bucks at any point. And I mean, who knows? Maybe he signs there when he's 45, but it's not as part of this next trade. So then the Heat, I think the Heat would have to. I saw like, okay, we both listened to Low Post podcast. When I heard the Heat, I'm like, well, I don't think, and right away I'm like, well, they're not going to trade Jimmy and they're not going to trade Bam. So that's right. Out. But then they were saying like, oh, if they did Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson and I guess salary filler and then like draft picks. I'm like, if I'm the Heat, why the hell, if Ben Simmons is on the table, I guess you could make the argument like, okay, the Nets package versus that Heat package. And okay, maybe that's a little bit of an argument. But to me, if Ben Simmons is on the table, there's no way that the Rockets are going to take Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson over that. So, I mean, I guess it's more of, like I said, an interesting conversation. Nets offer versus what the Heat could offer. Even that's more of a conversation because I guess you could say, is Tyler Herro a better asset than LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie because he's so much younger? You could say that, and I know Dinwiddie and Jared Allen are expiring contracts. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you could say, and they could opt out, and then if you're going to trade for them and keep their value, you're going to have to re-sign them, and do you want to re-sign them? So I guess you could make that argument, but to me, this has to be. But then again, on the flip side, if the Sixers are willing to trade Ben Simmons, then why hasn't that already happened, you know?
I don't think they are.
So that's why, but isn't that bizarre? Daryl Morey is like, James Harden is the greatest man who ever lived, and he changed my life. And they have like a love affair. And then he goes to a new team and he has to trade Ben Simmons for James Harden, and he's not going to do it. Is it, I don't, that's very surprising to me. Maybe he feels like, maybe he's got like a read on the rest of the league, and he knows that for whatever reason, the Rockets are not liking whatever offers are on the table. And maybe Daryl Morey is like, okay, I think that the Rockets are not going to take anything that's on the table right now. So let's just go 15, 10, 15, 20 games into the season. And if Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid look like world beaters together and we look awesome, screw it. We'll stay as is. If they still look clunky and it's not working, even though we have Seth Curry and Danny Green shooting threes now, spacing the floor, then maybe they're like, you know what? Let's pull the trigger. Ben, see you later. But the whole Harden thing is it's getting sort of weird now, where it's like, it's supposed to be a controversy, but it's nothing's happening basically. So, is he reporting? Has he been at practice? So he wasn't at the game, obviously, that they played.
No, because he can't do any team activities because he has to fail.
He has to pass.
That's positive.
So is he going to be ready for isn't the game start like next Tuesday and Wednesday? I guess that would be like, you know, 12. He must be able to pass protocol by that point. So I guess he technically would be ready for games to start. But yeah, the Harden thing is
Then he's playing. He literally doesn't play with. I mean, I guess he played with John Wall in like at LA Fitness in like last month or something. But like he actually hasn't played in a team, you know, structured offense with like. I mean, yeah, like John Wall and Russell Westbrook are similar players, but Russ is better. So
I mean, I guess you could say Harden saying, "Well, the way I play basketball, I barely even need teammates." It's like he doesn't need the chemistry. It's just like I'm going to be at the top of the key. I'm going to be dribbling between my legs, and I'm going to shoot a step back, or I'm going to drive. Just be ready for a lob or a 3-point shot. You know, so
and that's the thing. It's like, is Harden going to rebel? Because I don't think Coach Steven Silas is going to do the Mike D'Antoni heavy isolation offense. I think it might just drop significantly.
With the way that Harden's like just disrespecting him, if I was a coach, I would just be like, hey, screw you, dude. Guess what? Here's what we're emphasizing: ball movement, spreading the ball around, everyone's getting their shots. You know, I'd be like, screw this guy. We're running a normal offense. It's not the James Harden show.
The thing though, I think if Harden's happy, he will be more than happy to play regular basketball again. It's not like he hasn't done it.
I agree. On a different team, I think otherwise, why would he want to go to the Nets? Obviously, he's not an idiot. He knows that if he goes to the Nets, he's not going to be able to shoot 30 times a game. So I agree that is a little bit overstated in terms of will Harden be able to play normal basketball again? Obviously, he will. I have like zero doubt that if he is on another team, we're going to see him like moving off the ball and cutting and doing all that stuff again. Because that was his whole MO when he's on the Thunder. So it's not like he can't do it. But I just think, does he want to do that on the Rockets? Because, I mean, he's kind of going to have to do it on the Rockets, because if he doesn't, that John Wall is not really worth much off the ball. Like, what's he going to do? Shoot a catch and shoot three? I don't know. No. Maybe he could crash the offensive glass a little bit like Russ always does, but he's going to need the ball in his hand a decent amount. But it's like Harden is a good spot-up shooter, so it's not like Harden has a lot of value when he doesn't have the ball, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like, and he's definitely willing to sacrifice. I mean, he was the sixth man with KD and Russ on the Thunder, and he was coming off the bench, and he was great.
Yeah.
He was a really good player. So, I mean, I didn't hear any complaints from him, like, I gotta start, like, trade me. It was just like, I think he wanted to stay, but, you know, they traded him just because they didn't want to pay him. So, you know, that's why he got traded. It wasn't like he was demanding a trade because he was like, I need to start. Like, you didn't hear any of that. And you still haven't heard any of that. It's like, you know, and you would expect like something to come out like now with like all this Harden shit, because that's what, you know, reporters love to do. They love to keep like an old story from like 5 years ago, you know, that kind of questions someone's, you know, character traits. And they'll just like release it when shit's going crazy. Like,
kick them while they're down.
Yeah, like, for example, someone just released a blog saying how, you know, Kyrie at 19, this is like a terribly written article that just like, anyway, basically he just said like at 19 years old when Kyrie was a rookie, he said that everyone was looking at me like a leader and I'm just a kid trying to figure it out. But basically the blog writer didn't really specify that it was his like rookie year at 19. He was just like, oh yeah, Kyrie said he, like, when he was on the Cavs, that he, that the organization was looking at him as a leader, and he didn't think he was a leader, and then he was just still trying to figure things out, and how like he played like 8 seasons in the Cavs. So it wasn't like his entire Cavaliers tenure. It was like his early years when he was literally a child, like a kid, like 21.
I'll take your word. I didn't see this article, but if what you're saying is true, then yeah, it does seem a little bit out of context. I mean, it's one thing. If you're an 8-year veteran and saying like people are looking at me to lead, I'm like, bro, leave me alone. I don't know what I'm doing. That would be more concerning. But yeah, if you're a rookie, it's first year in the NBA, you're not focused on, I mean, 9 times out of 10, that player's not going to be focused on being the leader. They're going to be focused on just, am I literally capable of being an NBA player? We're like, where are we supposed to, you know, what am I supposed to do on the road and stuff like that? Getting used to the life of being in the NBA, not like running the team and being the team captain.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically going back to the point, Harden really, you don't really hear him complain much, you know, but to put some ownership on himself, he's a bad GM in which he wanted to get Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook, but they're both not good fits. It was just like, you know, they're good players.
I do push back. I will say Chris Paul, because he is a point guard, it's not an ideal fit, but it worked about as well as it could possibly work in 2018.
Oh, yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, where it's like, yeah, you probably want like a Paul George guy next to James Harden if you're picking like your ideal player. I get where you're going with that.
Yeah. So that's basically like that premise. But I mean, he's, you know, if you look at like his record just since joining the Rockets.
Yeah. I mean, they've been perennially very competitive.
Very impressive. I was like, wow. Like, they won 65 games.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2018.
65. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were extremely good that year. They were extremely, extremely. They were like a legit finals contender for sure. I mean, they probably would have won the title if the KD Warriors didn't exist. I mean, they probably would have beaten the regular Warriors. I mean, they were just, obviously Chris Paul got hurt, so who knows, but the point is they were extremely good. Yeah, I mean, Harden has, it's not like he's like a good team bad stats, I mean, bad team good stats guy. There's, I mean, he puts up great stats on really good two great teams. He's been to the finals on the Thunder team. I don't question Harden's ability to fit in with like a really good team. Do you want to, I know we got a little off track. Obviously it was important to touch on the Harden conversation, but what do you think about defensive player of the year? We should in the next like 20 minutes, just wrap up. If we're going to do awards, just do the rest of them.
So pretty much just goes back hand in hand with correlated with the Anthony Davis MVP award. Mm-hmm. You know, AD is going to get the defensive player of the year, especially with the whole narrative that I don't think Rudy Gobert is going to get it. And no. I don't think Giannis is going to get it this year. And pretty much the last man standing is Anthony Davis. So I think he, you know, takes the home that trophy for the first time in his career.
Yeah. I think that is, I mean, that he's definitely got to be the betting favorite because I don't really get what the other arguments. I mean, if you want to go for a dark horse long shot, like could it be that the Warriors are like a functional defense and it's mainly because Draymond is just back to being Draymond? That's the only thing I can think of. Because like you said, I don't see Rudy Gobert or Giannis winning it. So I feel like AD, he's been like sniffing around defensive player of the year. Oh, he's in contention. Oh, he's number two. He's a runner up. He's third place. But then this writer thinks actually he has an argument to be number one. So I think this has got to be AD's year to win. It's a lot easier to give someone a title or a trophy or an award that they've been sort of sniffing around. It's from a random example that just popped in my head. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio with the Oscars, how he was like, oh, he's never won an Oscar. But if you're always in the mix and you're in the argument, it's very easy to just for the voters and everyone to be like, all right, this year, let's give it to him. Whereas it's like if some player that we're not even discussing right now comes totally out of the blue and has like a really good season and he's in the mix. And if, you know, tiebreaker goes to the guy who's been there before, basically, is what I'm thinking. And AD's been there in the mix basically every year. So, yeah, I'm going with AD for that one too.
I feel like, I mean, the other awards are kind of boring, but like we should talk about. I'm just like,
it's like most improved player. Who the hell cares? Coach of the year. Yeah. Who the hell cares? Is there
most improved is literally just like whoever gets more minutes. Like they go from like average getting like 20 minutes a game to like 36, and then they double their points per game.
Yeah, it's like comeback player of the year. Really don't care. Do you want to? Well, it sounded like you were gonna come up with an idea. What were you gonna say?
I mean, I was just gonna say like I think like you just like most improved would be like Christian Wood that I have, just because he'll probably play like big minutes. But
I'm a team I'd actually be watching now. Like, no offense to the Pistons, but like maybe if the Rockets, like you said, are a little frisky, people will be actually like, I mean, let's be honest, even us as more than casual NBA fans, how much have I watched Christian Wood play basketball? Not a lot.
He's 20 minutes a game, and he's been on six different teams. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's actually
on Whiteside. I think he has a chance to be better than Hassan Whiteside, but he's like the late bloomer who's like, oh, this guy puts up good stats, and now we'll see. Like, well, he's actually a winning player.
I like that comparison.
Thanks.
I just think that when I say most improved, I'm not even sure if like the players are good. I just think their numbers are just better.
Yeah. I mean, give me a break. It's like Sixth Man of the Year every year was just like the guy who scores off the bench. I mean, that's another award. It's like, who the hell cares? Probably it's going to be Lou Will or Jamal Crawford again. You know, it's like, even though Jamal Crawford's retired, I'm pretty sure, but you get the point. But how about, here's a good one. What do you think? First team All NBA. That's a pretty good one. You know, I think it's the criteria is two guards, two forwards, and a center, which is obviously ridiculous. It should just be the five best players.
They're
still doing a center. 100%. 100%.
Since I was going to mention him in the MVP, not like as a deep dark horse, but there's like a special narrative. Karl Anthony Towns.
Whoa. I like it.
So basically, I think the team has improved. Not greatly, but I think they'll definitely be better. And, you know, obviously he's always had the talent. You know, him and it's like, oh, you know, back in the day. I mean, a couple of years ago, it was just like, who would you rather have, Anthony Davis or Karl Anthony Towns? And Anthony Davis has, you know, taken, you know, more strides forward because of his defense. But, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, I feel like he's so underrated now. Like, no one talks about him.
Yeah.
And partly it's because he's in Minnesota and on a losing team. But I think this year, you know, he has a year that's, you know, really hard to ignore. And he does have like a narrative. You know, he lost like seven.
His whole family died, dude. What the hell? When did you saw that article too? And were you not surprised? Like, you knew. Let me tell you, if your experience was the same as mine, you knew that his mom had died, but you didn't know, like, right. Yeah, the rest of his family died too. I didn't read who the other like seven people were. They like cousins and stuff, or like brothers and sisters? Like, God, that was horrible.
Yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, seven people.
Yeah, that.
I mean,
brutal.
I mean, and. Lost his mom and family members, and lost seven family members.
I would be interested. I mean, if you're looking for now, I'm just interested. Like, well, who were the other family members? Not that, I mean, obviously, if they're your family members, they're your family members. But I would have to think it would be cousins. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe does he have a lot of siblings? They didn't mention his dad. You figure that dad, yeah, maybe an uncle and aunt. You figure if it was his dad, they would have like mentioned that. That would have been in the headline. So.
Yeah, it must be cousins because he has a sister or multiple sisters, but they didn't mention him. So it must be just, you know, second, like not the immediate family, but right. Like just that next stretch of family members. Right. But I mean, regardless, like that's a lot to, you know, to take. So, you know, either, you know, if he's, I think, either he's like mentally weak or he's like, and he's very distracted, or he just like in that, like, I'm going to do it for, you know, everyone who passed away and whatnot. And he'll be like super motivated or whatnot and just have like a crazy, crazy year. I mean, he's 25 years old. So he's actually 2 years younger than Anthony Davis, but, you know, and I think like centers, they hit their prime later than guards. So, you know, I think the stars are aligning. I mean, he's an incredible shooter. And, you know, he's on offense, he's just incredible. He's just really incredible. So, you know, if he's, you know, locks down on defense and that team, like if they make a huge jump, I mean, it's a matter of like how far they could go. Like if D'Angelo takes a jump and whatnot.
I mean, I think even if they're literally just in the mix for like the playing games, like if they're like the 10-9 seed, I think that they would be getting credit for like a big improvement. I don't think they even have to be like one of the eight playoff seeds to validate this conversation of like, Towns being the first team All NBA center.
That's true. I was thinking, yeah, so for I was thinking for MVP, he would have to be like the fifth seed, but all NBA, he could just be, you know, in that eighth seed playoff hunt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I would agree with that. I would say for me, if I think, I guess he's getting a lot of love on this podcast, but I would say first team all NBA center is AD. Even though if it was up to me, I think he'd be disqualified from being considered for first team all NBA center, because I'm not going to reward you for being a center if you refuse to play center. But he was the center for the first team all NBA last year, so I think he's going to get that one again.
Okay, yeah.
Embiid is a dark horse. Not a dark horse, but that's another one. He could be in contention. Embiid.
He could definitely be. He could be MVP candidate for sure.
Yeah. That's a good dark horse one, right? Because it's like the East. Yeah, they got a lot of good teams, but if the Sixers really click and the Sixers are the one or two seed in the East, you could definitely see Embiid get an MVP love.
Yeah, I would say so. The dark horse MVPs: Joel, Lillard, Paul George.
What do you think? I just can't see a scenario. I can see Paul George definitely. It's like we talked about this before, like proving the doubters wrong and having a bounce back season. But I just can't see a scenario unless Kawhi gets hurt or maybe misses a week because of COVID and also is doing load management. It's just hard for me to see a scenario where Paul George wins MVP on a team with Kawhi. You know what I'm saying? He would have to outplay Kawhi, or Kawhi would have to miss a bunch of games, which is possible.
I mean, if he gets like 20 shots a game like he did in the Thunder, you know, and the Clippers are the one seed and he just has better stats than Kawhi, you know, obviously he's great on defense too. So, you know, and Kawhi's just averaging like 25 and he's averaging, you know, 30. You know, that's why it's a dark horse, really.
You could see it. You know? I mean, even to the point of like Kawhi maybe taking a step back on defense, if Paul George is just going like balls to the wall on defense, I'm pretty sure he was like that year with the Thunder where he finished third in MVP voting. I think he was like maybe even third for Defensive Player of the Year too. So it's like he does have that top level ability. So it's not, I mean, we're talking dark horses, of course. So yeah, I actually, now that I'm thinking about it more, I don't mind that pick at all.
Yeah, I would put him like in that. So it'd be like the Damian Embiid, and then like the other next tier of dark horse would be like Towns and who were we just talking about?
We were talking about Paul George, right?
Paul George.
I think maybe put Steph in the dark horse too.
I was thinking that, but I'm like, how?
I don't think the Warriors are going to be good enough, though. Yeah, I just don't really think they are. There's no way that the Warriors are going to be one of the top seeds in the West. No way. If they are, he better win MVP.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, because I was like, he came to mind before Paul George, and I was gonna say Steph. I'm like, I don't think that team's good enough. I'm like, what team is better? And I was like, well, the Clippers, but I don't think Kawhi is really a dark horse. So
I don't think I think if Klay didn't get hurt, I think Steph wouldn't even be in like the dark horse category. I think he would just be in like the top five most likely to win MVP category.
Right. And who else? I mean,
I'm just trying to think. I don't really. Jason Tatum, maybe you could see.
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, that's a good one, right? Yeah. Because Celtics hit the number one seed. He has his like takes another jump up. I think. But I would say, I gave love to the Celtics, so I'll balance it out here. I think I could see KD getting MVP. First one, if the Nets are one of the top two seeds, and that if the Nets are one of the top two seeds, that means that KD is back at an elite level. And if KD is back at an elite level, he's got a solid narrative built in, and I could totally see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very optimistic on KD. The only thing is that I'm not sure if they do a whole load management thing and
that's a good point.
That's the only, if this was like a year after he recovered, then I'd be like, yeah.
What is the news for that though? Is the inclination or the reporting that they're going to like sit him out back to back and stuff like that?
Steve Nash basically said that
Steve Nash is a coach of the Nets. How about that?
Yeah, that's crazy. And Mike D'Antoni is an assistant coach.
That's probably even crazier.
I think he basically either hinted at it or said it that he's not going to play like back to backs, and you know he might rest, but it wasn't anything really set in stone. It was just like, you know, they're pretty tight with that stuff, but There's nothing on limit minute restrictions, but you know, I don't see him playing also over like 32 minutes a game. And I think for with you're going to be the MVP, unless you're Giannis, like Giannis is like the biggest outlier when he played 30 minutes and put up those numbers. That's insane. That is insane. You know, I mean, I love LeBron. I really want him to get MVP, but I mean, Giannis numbers were just absolutely unreal to put them up in 30 minutes. And it's so unlikely if you're not like averaging, you know, 35 plus minutes a game, it's hard to put up those numbers, that MVP type numbers. Yeah, so that's
just insane. I mean, he had an insane, Giannis is insanely good. I mean, I guess there's still the idea of, can he be your number one crunch time option, down the stretch of playoff games? That's still up to debate at this point, but can he be the best player in a title team? I mean, that's, if Giannis can't be the best player in a title team, then there's basically nobody except for LeBron who can. So I don't think that's the case. So I think the answer for that is yes.
I think Jokic is not a dark horse MVP. I don't see that, yeah, but I would say all NBA. I would say all NBA first team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I could see that for sure. I think, he was second team last year. So, I mean, he's definitely, I mean, I think he's a top 10 NBA player. I just love that. And, you know, I just love the mix of star players in the NBA right now, because there's just something for everybody. You know, there's just, Jokic is just this like weird passing big man who's also a good shooter, but also just throws, maybe be the best passer in the NBA, but he's also a good scorer. And then you have your Dame Lillard. You have so many different styles, and whatever combination. Do you want like a scorer who's also good at defense? Do you want a big man who's an amazing passer? Do you want like a down low beast like Embiid, who also has defensive of the year potential? Do you want like LeBron? But then you have like Luka. It's just such a good combination of star players, man. It's great stuff.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's the golden age of this league. And
it really is. I mean, in terms of top line talent, who knows, maybe 5 years from now. But I just think, you know, when you're Kawhi's and when you're LeBron's and some of these guys retire, I know everything gets better and better and everything mostly improves. But I feel like, and now maybe somebody's going to be listening, oh, in 1989, the top seven players were Karl Malone and Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley. I'm not saying. I just think, you know, the top 15 maybe is the best top 15 ever. There's just so many amazing players. It's ridiculous.
What was I going to say? And like, it's really interesting because I think we had this conversation offline, but you know, when we look back at like comparing players to now, like Dwayne Wade, like peak Dwayne Wade, like where would he go? Like that's still a tough conversation.
Yeah, it was, because it's that was a great question when you texted it to me, because it really got the grinds, not the grinds. I was saying grinds my gear. It really got the wheels turning, because I was like, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously my favorite player ever, but it's like, that's just so tough. I mean, he's definitely in the elite category of that, like top seven or eight elite, but it's just, I don't know. Like it's kind of crazy to think, like, is peak Dwayne Wade better than LeBron right now? It's like, you can't say for sure, right? You can't say for sure.
It's tough. I mean,
peak Dwayne Wade regular season production is definitely better production than what LeBron's going to give us in the regular season this year. But am I going to be able to say with 100% certainty that peak Dwayne Wade, if you dropped him in today's NBA, would he be a better playoff player than current day LeBron? I cannot say that for sure. Which is just honestly insane. But I can say for 100% sure that, like, I always look at peak Dwayne Wade 08-09 season. LeBron's not going to have that level of regular season. There's literally no shot. But if you're asking me to choose this LeBron to play in the playoffs versus that Dwayne Wade, I'm probably going this LeBron, which is just so ridiculous. But that's what I default to.
And LeBron is 35 years old.
Right. Yeah. I mean, put it this way, in talking about MVP candidates, if peak Dwayne Wade was in the NBA and was like on one of these Eastern Conference contenders, he would definitely be one of the favorites to win MVP.
Yeah. Like what? Yeah, I guess so.
You know, like if he was on the Pacers instead of Victor Oladipo or something, or if he was on the Celtics instead of Jaylen Brown, like he'd definitely be one of the.
Yeah. Peak, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Peak.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Cause then.
Yeah. I feel like he. Like, I'm thinking, like, him or Kawhi.
At their peak, that is a really, really good one. That's a really good one. at peak who is better. That's so, that might be like just such a cop out to say like equal, but it's like they're both were so amazing. And I don't, but then again, it's like peak Kawhi might have been like in 2017 with the Spurs, you know? It's like what we're seeing now might not actually be peak Kawhi because he's not the same defensive Raptors, player.
Yeah. I mean, on the Raptors, he was on top of the world.
He was. I mean, that was when he, that was like his, when he reached like the highest level of clout almost. But I don't even know if that was the best player version of Kawhi, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody was talking about him as like defensive player of the year on the Raptors, but he won defensive player of the year and he was like a perennial, it was like him or Draymond for like a 2 or 3 year run, which one of them is going to win it. So now you could say he probably got better offensively. He did, but I mean, he had elite offensive seasons. I'm pretty sure Zach Lowe voted for him for MVP 1 year, maybe 2016 or 2017. So I'm just saying like, like Spurs Kawhi was at a higher level than I think people remember. I think people just in their head, including myself, sometimes we all think of him as like the 2013, 2014 finals Kawhi when he was really good, but he's more of a role player, but he's like a super role player, but he's not giving you like 20 points a game consistently. But nah, I mean, his last season on the Spurs, he was like 25 point per game scorer. So like he really was elite. That, so it's just like that guy versus peak Dwayne Wade, man, I think they're like neck and neck. It's like, what do you prefer? Do you want a lead ball handler who's more of a playmaker? Do you want the defensive player of the year guy, but who's maybe not going to score as many points, but is maybe will grab you more rebounds, but he's not as much of a creator for others? It's too close to call. Votes are still coming in.
The shooting is really, it's tough.
Yeah, Kawhi's a better 3-point shooter for sure than Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
That was Dwayne's one missing recipe, I guess. Was his, he never got the 3-point shot down, but he made up for it by he was a great cutter. He was great at moving off the ball, and he was, you know, when guys would sag off of him, and especially when he was playing with like LeBron and stuff, when people would lose track of him and they're like, oh, Dwayne Wade can't shoot threes, like we'll sag off him. I lost track of the amount of times he would just like cut back door and get a layup, and the guy, the man guarding him would be like looking around like, oh god, that was like his move. He would just cut baseline layup when guys sagged off him, or he would crash the offensive glass. So he didn't just stand around and accept like, oh, I'm not a great catch and shoot shooter. But he barely shot any catch and shoot threes in his entire career. It's kind of hilarious.
He was all over the place. I mean, that's what made him great, that you just couldn't contain him.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's a better playmaker. Like if there's nothing,
way better.
Yeah. Like if there's nothing going on, if like a possession's dead, I'd rather give the ball to Dwayne than Kawhi.
Yeah. They would be a sick combo. Like if instead of Paul George on the Clippers, you had peak Dwayne Wade, I mean, they would win the finals. They would definitely win the finals. I think they would be better than the Lakers. That would be such a good combo.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to deny that.
Yeah, but it's also like a super hypothetical, so I can just really go out on a limb and be confident about it. It's like, there's no way to disprove it. Okay. So, but I think, what was I going to say? I don't know. But I think, what was I going to say? Oh, and a final point about Dwayne Wade. He, people forget that. People forget this. I feel like he really was on a, maybe not quite a Russell. He wasn't quite the athlete that Russell Westbrook was, but I think he was on that D Rose, like next inch down from Westbrook. Where Westbrook, like in his prime and in on the Thunder, he didn't even look real the way that he would like just fly through the air for dunks and stuff. But Dwayne Wade was like that next level down of like just ridiculous guard athletes of all time.
Like I would say, like if he was like 6'6",
yeah,
and he had a better 3-point shot,
yeah. I mean, he would if he was, I think he would be basic. If he was 6'8" like LeBron, I think he would be basically as good as LeBron. Because now you would probably say maybe he'll be 5% worse because LeBron, he's not a knockdown 3-point shooter, but he still has a better jump shot than D Wade. But if D Wade was LeBron's height and size, D Wade would be a top 5 player all the time. I mean, period, end of story. Now you may say, well, he had his injuries, so now maybe if he was LeBron's height and size, he wouldn't have as many injuries. But I'm just saying, like peak as a player, I can't guarantee he would have had a top 5 career where you would put him in the top 5. But in terms of best at playing basketball ever, he would have to be in the top 5. I mean, he was. Before, he was basically the second best player. I mean, when LeBron came to the Heat, it was like that, like D Wade was considered like his biggest quote unquote rival to be on like LeBron's level. So, and that's being 6'4". So yeah, you give him 3 inches of height. Are you kidding me? I mean, we might have averaged like 2 blocks per game. he has seasons of like 1.5 blocks per game. So if you give him a longer wingspan and a little bit more of height, oh my God. Yeah, he would have averaged 2 blocks a game. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, he was so talented. I mean, to be fair, we were literally just like, oh, let's just
fill in his flaws. Yeah, it's like, well, guess what? If LeBron shot like Ray Allen from 3 or something, what if Steph Curry was 7 feet tall?
I mean, LeBron has some crazy numbers. I think on 3-pointers, like 30 feet and out, like he's like one of the league leaders in like efficiency.
Because, I mean, he does have this weird thing where he...
Oh, I'm talking about, though, right?
Oh, I know 100% line. What you're talking about. I mean, he has a weird thing where he will be struggling with his jump shot, and then it automatically... This happened in game 6 against the Nuggets. What was it, 6 games? Or was it 5 games? Did they beat the Nuggets in 5 games? But yeah, and so in game 5, he was, I don't think he took like a jump shot the whole game. And then randomly in the fourth quarter, he just makes like 6 or 7 jumpers. So he has a weird thing where his jumper, where he won't trust it for like multiple games in a row, and then randomly it will come on. But yeah, randomly it will come on sometimes where he just pulls up in transition from like 30 feet. And normally he makes those shots. Whereas it's just like, I would love to ask him, like, where does that come from? Because it's one thing like a heat check, right? We all know if a guy's on fire and he pulls up from 30 feet, well, you saw that coming and you can understand that. But sometimes LeBron will take like his second three, he'll be 0-for-1 from 3, let's say, and it'll be like halfway through the third quarter. And then he'll be in transition, pull up from 30 and nail it. It's like, well, why weren't you doing that like for the rest of the game if you were that confident with your 3? It's very strange.
I just turned on the Nets game and they're on the floor, and it's so weird seeing Kevin Durant in a Nets
jersey. Damn it, I forgot that it started at 6. I would have had it on. DeAndre Jordan with the dunk. Oh, I didn't want to spoil it if you're behind.
Yeah, I'm behind right now.
Kyrie, oh my God. Kyrie just broke his leg. Oh, did I spoil it? No.
Don't. KD with the dunk. Oh, shit. He looks good. That was a nice little move. Did you see it?
I think I might have missed it because I guess I might be ahead of you. Unless.
Oh, what's the score?
I'm seeing a score of 4-2.
Okay, I'm 2-2. God. Hit the first bucket was KD driving to the lane. Ooh. He got the first bucket.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I just saw the DeAndre.
Yeah, dunk. Okay, you're like 20 seconds behind. No big deal. Yeah. But yeah, it does look very strange to see. Man, KD and the Nets. I like the Nets uniforms. I like their these don't seem to be that ones. I like the ones with like the Biggie Smalls like Kuji sweater trim, like that like rainbow trim.
Yeah, that really should be their main.
Yeah, it should.
Jersey.
There's a couple teams where it's like their alternate or their like special edition jersey. Just make it your actual jersey.
Yeah, I think like I like the simplicity, but I feel like you just need a little splash, and I feel like that's just like perfect.
Yeah, no, it is. But, those jerseys are sick.
Unfortunately, they're getting sued by whoever represents Biggie's Koogie, somehow he owns the design. But then again, like, why not just like switch it up a little bit and just make it yours? And you can't like just like change the colors.
Yeah, or something. Like or how about like just do some promo for Koogie sweaters? I don't know. Like, this could be a business partnership.
Like, it's Brooklyn. Like, isn't Biggie from Brooklyn?
Yeah.
So it's like, why are they not like, okay, like, let's just partner up. Like, this is, we could keep Biggie Smalls. Like, who talks about Biggie Smalls anymore, bro?
Yeah, not really. I mean, definitely not people our age.
I mean, I don't listen to Biggie. Like, I have no interest. I've never once like looked at my iTunes and like, I feel like listening to Biggie Smalls today. And you might get some like you might get some old heads that like just threw up right now, but like, honestly, I've never been a Biggie guy. But
yeah, no,
and especially now, like, now I you know, he's not even alive, but now I'm like, now that he's not letting us, you know, wear the Koogie sweater thing, I'm like, what's really like to like about this guy?
It's all bad. There's nothing good that to speak of. That's a wonder. I have to look that up. I don't know if his family owns that brand. I just thought it was famous because he used to like wear their sweaters. Maybe the brand is suing them and it has nothing to do with the estate of the Smalls family. I don't know. It's interesting.
Because they have like their city jerseys are like this. It's like not Koogie, but it's like kind of like playground like art. Apparently it's basically made by Kevin Durant's favorite Brooklyn artist or something like that. Okay. And I don't really like the topography of it, but I like the style. I wish they kept the, like, if you look at the Nets City Edition jerseys, like, I wish they just kept they put like the color scheme on the outline of the jerseys, just like the Kugi ones, and that's that. So it's like, okay, you know, we just, you know, it's like the same jersey, just with like a little bit more flair. And they kind of like took it to the next level with like all the like kind of text of it. But, you know, I don't
know. What's the deal with Kyrie not wearing the sleeve?
Not wearing a sleeve?
Yeah, he's not wearing a sleeve. That's the first thing I noticed when I saw him. I'm like, something looks different. He's not wearing a sleeve.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does he? When I think of Kyrie, I don't really think of him wearing a sleeve.
I just Googled him. He has like a sleeve in every picture.
Really? Let me see. I feel like he's kind of like, depends on his haircut, if he's wearing like a headband or not. Or with the beard too. I like the
little wristband on like the forearm.
Yeah, I think Kobe. That's Kobe's.
I was thinking that might be a Kobe tribute, but then I looked up Kobe, and there was Kobe seemed to have every combination. He has his sleeves, but then he also has that wristband. But he also wore it above his elbow a lot of times. But there's pictures of him wearing it below his elbow, so it seems like he had a lot of different styles that he wore it.
Yeah, it might be a tribute to Kobe. For some reason, I don't know what. I just remember someone pointing out, like, oh, Kyrie's wearing, I think it was the game or two after, because I think Kyrie missed the game directly after Kobe died, and the second game after, he wore the wristband on the upper forearm, and basically they're like, oh, it's for Kobe.
I'm looking at pictures of Jordan. I guess Kobe must have copied Jordan, because Jordan basically in every picture has the like wristband on like his elbow or forearm. So I guess maybe he started that.
I don't get that. Like, why?
I don't understand what purpose it serves.
Like, good.
Yeah, and I mean, the sleeve is like, it has no functional purpose. It literally is just to look good. People say, "Oh, it keeps my arm warm." I'm like, give me a break. You just wear it because it looks cool, but it's
It really looks cool.
Yeah, but.
And the funny part is, like, they won't put it on their shooting arm.
Right, exactly. That's a great point. Well, if it's so warm, why don't you put it on your proper arm that you actually shoot the ball with? Yeah, it's a great point. So that's accessories talk for the day.
Thing. I think what I loved for that, like, 20 games or 10 games, when they had, like, the ninja headbands.
Why did the NBA is such losers. Why did they get rid of that? Those headbands look sick.
They look awesome.
Like, they're cloth, basically. They're like a cloth fabric more than, like, your standard sweatband.
Like, what harm is that?
And they're thicker. Like, they're thicker on, like, the forehead. Yeah, they look like you're going to karate class or something. It looks awesome. And
like, I just, like, when I think of those, I think of D'Angelo Russell and De'Aaron Fox, and they like both like rocked it. I guess it's like their hairstyle, but,
and it has a little like tie at the back. Was so much cooler. Why the hell did they get rid of that? That's so lame.
Everyone like who rocked it was just like, oh shit, that looks like actually dope. And then like they just like didn't even like let it have its
moment.
Didn't even let it peak.
They killed it in the womb.
It's like it violates the rules of, I guess people will pull down on it.
Did that ever happen? Like, no. So like let that become a problem before you preemptively decide that it's a problem.
Exactly. Headband clay. That's weird. That's really weird. But yeah, I mean, that's what they should really reconsider. But yeah, I mean, KD, if he's, you know, playing, if he plays like 90% of games, the Nets are the one seed, and he's averaging like 28. He could win MVP, but you know, who knows? I mean, he looks spry already, but you know, time will tell. Time will tell. I mean, I'm just excited. I can't believe the season's starting up so soon. It's like I'm not ready, but I need it here right now. Yeah. At the same time, I mean, there's like a lot of narratives going on. You know, the whole no fans thing. And I mean, it's just going to be an awesome season. It's a great season too, because the biggest markets are all contenders, you know, New York and LA. It's like, this is like the NBA's dream.
Yeah. The Clay injury was only a downer of that. Like if the Warriors were also a legit finals contender, that would be sick too. But right. I guess you can't have everything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, like, there'll be seasons where it's like, oh, it's everyone's healthy. And then, like, you know, the first game into the season, like, Gordon Hayward out for the season with an awful injury. Yeah, there's always, like, some bad injury. But, you know, we just always hope for the best. And Clay was the first to take the sacrifice. But, you know, hopefully he's the last one, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't predict. You just simply can't predict injuries. That's why we need to, you know, introduce steroids into the NBA community.
That was a great bring it back, bring it full circle, as the kids say.
Yeah, just like that. So we're gonna write a letter to Mr. Adam Silver, maybe FaceTime him after this. And, you know, get the ball rolling on that. And we're basically just going to change the league forever. And, you know, you guys can thank us for
it. We'll probably be appointed dual deputy commissioners as eventual successors to once we reveal this amazing idea. He's going to have no choice. He said, well, these guys have to be in charge of the league one day.
And, you know, as a thank you, we will bring back the ninja headbands.
Exactly. As a token of our gratitude. Well, I mean, see, it's just stuff like that will make the best ideas. Like ninja headbands. Oh, are they legal or not? Yeah, they're illegal. Like, how easy is that? Like, what is there to the debate that, oh, well, we got to make it illegal. Like, have some fun. Come on. Coaches, mandatory coaches wear ninja headbands. Okay. You guys don't want us to be commissioners? Give me a break.
I just like, I thought like that was about to be like, you know how the NBA back in, let's say like 2010, everyone wore like the black leggings.
Yeah.
That was like the ninja headband was about to be that.
Right. Yeah. And
It's like, what's the difference?
Yeah. Yeah. The ninja leggings, they really had a moment there. I don't know what made them stop having a moment, but they definitely had a moment where it's like every star player was like, I need to wear leggings.
I still don't understand the whole. Why? So the doesn't make any sense. So the coach has to wear a mask, but the players
don't. I don't understand it. I didn't notice that, but I'm looking at it now. This makes zero sense. I mean, it makes zero sense. It just goes back to the original idea of like when everyone was in the bubble, why did anyone have to wear a mask? And this basically just is the same thing. I mean, it doesn't. The players on the bench don't even have to wear a mask. I would love to hear the rationale of Adam. It's Kevin here from Bleacher Report. I noticed that coaches on the bench have to wear a mask, which I mean, I guess you could say that makes sense. It looks like announcers are also announcing through masks. But
no,
yeah, dude, look behind the scores table. Look behind the scores table. There's one guy who's not wearing a mask. That guy, report him to the authorities. But I just don't get the logic of why a player sitting on the bench would not have. Well, there is some players on the bench, but it looks like most of them aren't. I don't understand the logic there. I mean, they're getting tested every day, I would presume. So what's the difference between presume and assume? I have no idea.
I use them hand in hand.
Yeah, I just use them as synonyms.
Interchangeably.
And assume. But yeah, that's very bizarre. I don't understand that. I figure either everyone has to wear masks on the sideline or nobody does. But who knows? This is more Adam Silver. He just lets the players run wild, man, sometimes.
Oh, shit. Do we know Karras is wearing a mask for some reason on the bench. I guess if you're not playing, you have to wear a mask.
I guess. Okay. Well, are they going to say that like wearing a mask impairs their ability to like recover their breath or after they come out of the game. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean,
because otherwise, why would a player who's not eligible for the game have to wear a mask if it is true that they have to?
Because I don't understand. Like, what are the procedures to contain? Like, are they told NBA player? Like, how do you contain them from not contract? Because there's no bubble, so you just like trust them. What do you tell them?
I don't know if there's protocols. Maybe for like maybe when they're on the road, they're not allowed to leave the hotel. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I'm telling you, it's basically going to be like the NFL. Players are going to get it. The thing that's worse about for the NBA is there's not many players on the team. So you can't really afford to have five. It'd be like, oh, the Ravens got 12 guys test positive, but we'll bring up some practice squad guys and we're plowing ahead. You can't really do that as much with basketball.
Because like at the same time, how, you know, we're talking about how it's the golden age of the NBA. It's very top heavy to where, you know, there's so many incredible players, but it's like you can't just like in the NFL. I feel like you could find a lot more diamonds in the rough just because there's a bigger, obviously there's more players, so there's a bigger pack to choose from. So it's like, okay, this guy goes down, but like this guy has been excelling in practice. It's like you have to pick like some guy in the G League who's like kind of mediocre, but it's like, you know, we need a small forward, so we just have to like pick him. So it's like, you're not really gonna. I mean, maybe this is how we find some stars in the rough, some diamonds in the rough.
Guys are gonna get their big break.
Like, this is the year to go undrafted. Actually, like, it is really the year to go undrafted because you know it's gonna happen. That, you know, there's just gonna be probably a record high in signings to where, you know, players just test positive and they, you know, they can't play in 2 weeks. They have to pass like five tests in order to resume team activities. Like James Harden has to pass six tests. What is that? Like, what's the math in that?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the science?
I don't know what really the science. I guess it must be maybe one test a day, and they're thinking that incubation period is like what, on average 5 days. So it's like the idea, I guess, is, and I'm just thinking out loud, like if once you get in the testing protocol, like if let's say you contract the virus 15 minutes before you get your first test, you could still test negative, I guess, on day two, day three, day four, day five. But then again, it's still contingent on you, like while you're getting these tests, like, are you going to the gym? Are you going outside? You know, you could still get it, but it's going to be very interesting to see. Adam Silver, stay strong, bud. You know, Roger Goodell got the job done. He got them NFL through their season, basically. We don't need suspensions or of the season or postponements again. Just, you know, do what needs to be done.
Do you think Roger Goodell,
invented the coronavirus? No, that's ridiculous. Why would you say that?
Would you say he did a good job this season?
I guess I would say he did. I don't have anything that I could really point to say that he really messed this up. So, I mean, I understand players are getting it, but that's to be expected. And the thing that I would say is that when people were saying like, oh, why do the Broncos have to play with no quarterback, but meanwhile the Ravens game keeps getting postponed? There was like a difference. Apparently, the idea was that. The Broncos was not an outbreak. It was basically just like a violation of rules, whereas the Ravens also, I guess they got it from like a staff member who maybe violated the rules, but that was like an outbreak. Like, it was spreading, whereas with the Broncos, they knew it was just contained to like these three players. So I don't know. I can't really point to, well, oh, Roger Goodell really messed that one up here. But I don't know if you could say he's doing the most amazing job in the world. But if the goal is to play the season, then he's getting the job done. If the goal is to keep the players as safe as possible, then I don't even know what the NFL's protocols are on road trips. Like, are the players allowed to leave the hotel? Like, if the Eagles are in town in New York to play the Giants, can they leave the hotel in Manhattan and just go walk around, go to Central Park if they want to? I don't know what the rules are, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's so much. It's such weird times that we're living in.
It is bizarre.
And it's, you know, it's still almost, I mean, let's see, probably like 9 months into it.
Yeah,
and
it's still, exactly 9 months.
it's like just a topic. It's still a daily discussion.
The topic of all topics.
Yeah, it's really amazing how much of an effect that this has had. Where, you know, I went to the last Nets game that they had with fans, and this was at the time where we knew about the coronavirus, but we weren't sure of the. This was basically it was like, oh, you know,
thing. It's going around. Apparently, it's in China.
Like use hand sanitizer, but like it wasn't like holy shit, shut the fucking country down. Everything's gotta go. It was just like, you know,
is to blame.
It was like the end. It wasn't like the end of the world, and then you know we eventually reached the end of the world. But I mean, it was just like what the fuck. I mean, a lot of things, you know, taken away.
I will
but,
say, if you had to put money down, 1 year from now, are we still wearing masks? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that sucks. I'm not disagreeing with you, and I would say yes too, probably, but come on, man. You know?
1 year, dude? That's you know, it's been like almost a year since it started.
When are these vaccines coming? If everyone's getting vaccinated, can we get that ball rolling? But the thing is, I think we talked about this, is when it's like people are going to still have to wear masks and like socially distance, even if you've gotten the vaccination. Oh my God. People are going to freak out once they realize that.
I have like a hot topic,
okay,
or something. I think that no one is actually social distancing, and this is basically what. I already social distance from people in general,
right?
But I'm not going to do it like with my friends, really.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with what you're saying. I think people are more towards the phase of like, I'm going to hang out with who I want to hang out with. And
yeah,
if I'm in public, whatever, I'll quote unquote socially distance and I'll wear masks. But I think people are at the point where it's like, if I want to go to my friend's house and there's some of the other friends there, like I'm just going to do it. Basically that I think most people are on that bandwagon at this point.
Because either way, like I'm like in the gym, like you don't have to really tell me a social distance because
I don't want to be weird next to you guys anyway.
I don't want to be next to you. Your sweaty ass. Like smelling,
grunting
like,
around. There was a big grunter at the gym today. He was at the chest supported rows. And he, first of all, he was on it for 45 minutes and I needed to use it. But I guess this was his entire workout was built around the, and he was heavy. He had to get like his girlfriend or his wife to like come give him a lift for the weight. I didn't even look how much weight he was using, probably a lot. But point is that he was grunting loudly, which I just never. I mean, listen, am I going to say I haven't let out a grunt before at the gym? A little huffing and puffing? Sure. But if you're that guy who is doing it for every set, then you need to seek help immediately.
Every set, every rep.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. I doubt they're working out
that hard. You're not. And like, it's just like, yeah, if you're grinding out the last rep and you're like, you know, you want to give a little back, fine, go ahead. We've all done that. But if you're the guy who every rep, it's like, you're like, first of all, you better look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, dude, because if you're doing all that and you don't look like an absolute beast, then I have some questions.
Yeah, you really need to be like one of the biggest guys, if not the biggest guy in
and
the
then
gym.
I'll say, you know
it.
What, that guy might be onto something, okay? But if you're not, then you just need to stop.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, come on. Like I've never really grunted. I don't sweat.
No, I do. I mean, I don't sweat. If I do cardio, I sweat excessively.
Not cardio. Like,
I mean, I'll get I'm not going to be like sweating to the degree where I have like stains in my shirt and stuff, but I'll definitely get some forehead sweat going on for sure. But not like it's like dripping, you know what I'm saying? But just,
yeah.
And it depends on the workout. I mean, I don't even know really what body parts maybe trigger it, but if it's and it's also maybe if I'm trying to get it in, if I have like a workout that maybe should last an hour and I'm trying to get it in 45 minutes, the resting between sets definitely makes a difference. Have you ever encountered I guess we probably have to wrap this up. We're going a little long here, but have you ever encountered, I'll say the biggest scumbag at the gym is the rare, he's a rare creature. He's a rare Pokemon that you don't see out in the wild too much, but the listening to music with no headphones guy.
I
don't even tell me you've been that guy.
Okay. No.
I mean, I guess maybe once in a blue moon, like if there's nobody else really in the gym and you forgot your headphones, like fine, like I'm not going to go crazy. But like the guy who's like just playing music from his phone, walking around the gym when the gym's crowded, it's like, I don't, what's your plan here? What's your end game? Like, why are you doing this?
To be fair, that's like not, that doesn't affect me personally as much because I have my headphones in, so I wouldn't really be able to hear
it. That's a fair point. And now I'm thinking of the moment when this guy was doing it. Did I have my headphones in? I'm not sure. That's a good point, though. Maybe I didn't have headphones that day. I don't know. Why was it so easy for me to hear this? Was I maybe listening to a podcast that wasn't as loud? Could be.
Because I mean, the phone, like phone speakers can't be that loud.
Yeah, I was definitely working out next to him, so that could have been it. But something was going on. I might not have been wearing headphones. That might have been what caused it. But yeah, so you know what? I'm thinking it's still a wild move, and it still is a bit scummy. But I don't, like you're saying, but then again, not everyone at the gym is wearing headphones. I'll say the vast majority are, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, just can we be considerate of other people a little bit? But whatever, it's not the end of the world. I would say that guy's worse than grunting guy, but I would say grunting guy is more common. He's more of an issue to deal with, you know? It's like, is a tiger, do you need to be more worried about a tiger than a stray dog? Sure, but you're more likely to encounter a stray dog than a tiger, you know, in your day-to-day life.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, there's always like some characters in the gym. I'm trying to think
of one more. The listen to music with no headphones guy, the grunt guy. I mean, people will say like the guy who gives you advice, but really I've been going to the gym for a long time guy, that's probably only happened to me 5 times total in the thousands of times. I know that is a lot. So maybe I just looked like a clown when I started or something, but there was one guy at
five different people or like one guy, you know, keep giving
advice. Definitely by different people. Might've been 3 to 5, I would say, different people over the course of me going to the gym have unsolicited offer advice. One guy gave me wrong advice on lateral raises. He gave me the bro advice of like, you know, it's like you're pouring water into a flower pot, you know? And then Athlete X is like, no, that's like internal rotation of your shoulders. You want your thumb to be above your pinky. You know what I'm saying? And this guy was like, make sure, you know, get that pinky up and your thumb should be pointing down like you're pouring out water. It's like, thanks, dude. That guy was clearly on steroids too. And I think he competed. Then he just blabbed my ear off. So he definitely was like a competitor, but I guess he didn't know what he's doing in terms of shoulder. You don't want to hurt your shoulder. But yeah, I would say 3. And I can remember another guy when I was starting off at the gym giving me good squat advice, like where you don't want to be coming over your knees. You want to be like literally squatting backwards almost, like barbell squat. So that was good advice from him. And I'm trying to think of any other guy, but probably, so maybe it was like 3 or 3, something like that.
I think the only advice that, you know, some guy gave to me was basically he was watching me bench press and he was saying how I was using my triceps more than my actual chest.
How do you even notice that? Like, what do you look for? Is it like grip? Like your grip was close?
The grip was too close. And I don't know, like the way I was pressing, but I think I think I was doing dumbbell press too. I was thinking I was doing it more on an angle. And he was saying like, do it just like the dumbbells, like just straight out and just like push up and go like a little bit wider. And I can't say I took the advice.
Like he's saying, like when you press it up, have your arms like more further apart away from your body.
Yeah,
it's like and a kind of a wide grip, like dumbbell press, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and it does. Like, you know, it
definitely works, but it's the type of advice where you're like, dude, I'm gonna have to drop 20 pounds on the dumbbells to do that, and I really don't want to do that. So,
and it hurts your shoulders.
Yeah, definitely, I could see it not being as healthy for your shoulders.
So that's why, like, I would angle it a little bit more and. I think he had a big bench, but he wasn't like a jack guy, but he like, that was like the one thing
he was a power lifter.
Maybe the power lifter. I don't know. I
understand that line of thinking, the power lifting, but hey, whatever people want to.
Have you given anyone any advice?
No, I never given anyone any advice. I don't think I've ever even been
thought about it.
I don't think I've ever even thought about it. No, the only time I would ever even consider it is if it's someone who is clearly at the gym for like their first time, or, you know, just starting off at the gym, and they're clearly like doing an exercise completely wrong or in a way that's like dangerous and that could hurt them. And even then, I would probably only like consider it. But that would be the only scenario. If it's some guy who even if he, you know, it doesn't have to be like the biggest guy in the gym, but it's obviously some guy who's like been going to the gym for a while. Like, I'm, there's literally nothing. They could be like doing dumbbell chest press and like throwing the dumbbells up in the air and trying to catch them on the way down for every rep. And I would not even try to give them advice.
Yeah. The only time I would see like high school or college kids like come in and they're just like not just plainly doing the exercise right. And I always like thought, like, I kind of just literally want to just be like, dude, you're doing this totally wrong. Do it like this. And I'll just like walk away.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want, I'm not even trying to build a relationship. I'm just like, you're just like, you just got to stop doing what you're doing.
There was, I mean, to the example I used earlier when I was, and it probably was more when I was more earlier in the gym, when I was obviously doing squats wrong. Like, I was coming over my knees instead of like sitting back into the squat, and the guy gave me advice and I was like, yeah, you know that. And then he did the same thing. He just was like, hey, you know, you're doing this, you should try it this way. It's better for your knees, better for, it's better form and you'll feel it more. And I was like, all right, yeah, you're a bro, dude. Like, I didn't, I didn't ask for advice, but he gave it to me and he was clearly right. And so I was like, yeah, I appreciate that. And he just walked away. But the other guy who was, gave me the wrong advice and just talked my ear off for the next 5 minutes, that I definitely did not appreciate.
Yeah. You kind of have to like pick your battles.
Just get in and out, get in and out. If you're going to do it, get in and out.
Right. You know, you let them decide whether they want to take the advice. Yeah. That's the thing. If you tell them to do something, and they just like, I've seen like some guys, or the classic, you know, guy tries to hit on a girl and it's like, oh, you should do it more like this. And then they like kind of watch them do it like
they're
a couple times.
Their hand on her back for some reason, like, here, like, really, you know, get into it. You got to feel it right here in this muscle. It's like,
and it's just like, this girl is not like trying to become a pro bodybuilder, bro. Like, unless she's going to hurt herself, just like, you know, let her
you're
look
not
like,
engaging your rear delts as much as you need to be on this exercise, Samantha.
And like, it never works out.
They never get happily married ever after. Yeah, it doesn't work
like,
out that way.
It's like, that's the end of the conversation. They'll like just like awkwardly like walk away. The girl will just say like thanks, and then like, you know, they'll just go back to doing, like, once they leave, they'll like look at them to see if they left, and they'll just go back to the way that they were just doing it. And then the guy just like feeling all good about himself.
I feel like there's heavy overlap between that guy and the grunt guy. I think that's the same guy. Yeah. It's all in one package. Which, yeah, I mean, if it's working out for them, at least they're going to the gym, you know. So they got something going.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they got it that far. Right. So I got to give some credit. But yeah, I mean, I think we're going to wrap this pot up. We've been going for some time now, but next week we're gonna have to do like the just the team rankings, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess we could do predictions for East and West.
Yeah, NBA season preview, the big one. You know, we'll come in with the hot takes. You know how we do it, and they're always right because we're just the best. You know, it's kind of simple as that. You know, we just run this shit, and Adam Silver is going to recognize that soon. And, you know, Ninja Headbands will be back soon enough.
Back before you didn't know it.
Yeah. So exciting times ahead. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Any last words?
No, I think no bullets left in the chamber.
No bullets left in the chamber. All right. Well, we will see you guys next week. Peace. See ya.